I was talking to Brother Christopher the other day, and God just spoke and said that pandemic is upon the land. He said, but if you persevere in me, it will not touch you. So, you know, you guys, if you have the faith that God, remember God told us we was going to have everlasting faith a couple weeks ago. So if you worked on getting that everlasting faith and you can trust God, or will trust God right now, this thing is not going to touch you. You know, the hospitals are preparing for 96 million infections and 500,000 deaths. That's what they're predicting. But, you know, God knows all things. And I just really don't want you to walk in fear. Use wisdom in all things. But please don't walk in fear. You know. And if it comes to a point where they say we can have church and we won't have church. But until they come to that point, the doors will be open for every service. So you don't have to call and say you have in church. The doors will be open unless God tells us we can't. Before I pray, and I want you to know that during deliverances, there's a lot of people in the new age right now. And I was talking to the deliverance people about that the other day. And God said that there's a spirit of false healing that opens the door to total deception that will take them totally out of God's kingdom. In other words, when speaking to New Age people, they say they have a healing ministry, and they're not going to give it up for nothing. So that is a false healing, and what it's doing is opening the door up for total deception in you, you and the New Age person. And it will take you right out of God's kingdom. In other words, you won't go to heaven. So, you know, it's wonderful to have a healing ministry. But make sure the healing ministry comes from the right source, which is God, and not the other source. Father, I truly do thank you for all who came out to sit at your table this morning. I know we're already covered with the blood of Jesus. And I know, Father God, that the good works that you started during the song of service, you're going to complete during the teaching. And Father God, we thank you that the atmosphere is full of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father God, that your angelic host are walking to and fro throughout these chairs this morning, doing the works that need to be done in people's lives. And Father, we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I know that God told me to teach on forgiveness all the month of March, but with everything I was hearing people say and people call me and everything, I asked God if it was all right to teach on fear. 1 John 4:18 said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And fear is one of the things I hear over and over and over again in the body of Christ, and we should never hear the word fear. Because what does fear do? It torments. And, you know, it really what you have to do is get your love walk with God right. And then fear will have no place in you. So if you're walking in fear, that means you don't love God the way you should love God. You don't have your love walk right. You have not yet submitted your all 100% to him. Okay? Torment is a place where there is no rest. And, you know, when you have fear, you don't have any rest. God has given a place of rest to us, not just after we die and go to heaven, but right here, right now. And he's been telling us he wants us to enter into his perfect rest, has he not? And if you truly, truly, truly turn your heart over to God and trust him with from the very depth of your being, you're going to have rest. And you're going to have peace, and you won't have any fear, and you won't have any torment. Some people say, well, I've already done that. Well, check your fruit. Do you have fear? Do you have torment? Do you have no rest? Then you haven't really turned your life totally and completely over to God. Come on. Hebrews 4:9 says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. That's good news. But just like everything else in the Bible, it must be received by faith. It belongs to us through Jesus and what he did for us at Calvary. You have to receive everything by faith. This is where God told us we had to get everlasting faith, wasn't it? And we haven't, the church has not yet received that, or we wouldn't even be all concerned about what's going on right now. We would have given that thing over to God and saying, God, I'm covered in the blood of Jesus, and no weapon formed against me can prosper, and you'd be walking on. Right? That's pure trust. When you can say, God, I mean, I don't care what storm comes your way. Say, God, I know you're in control, and I'm just not going to get in a frenzy about this thing. I do that every day, because every day there's an opportunity for every one of us to walk in fear. Every day, because the enemy makes sure he comes in to bombard us with things to cause us to walk in fear. I'm also hearing God say right now, if your mind is washed in the blood, then your mind will not have control over you. See, so maybe some of you need to wash your minds in the blood of Jesus. Jesus told me years ago, he said, never forget the blanket of blood. So what I do when I pray, I always cover everybody with a blanket of blood. Then I seal it where no darkness can go into that blanket of blood. And so therefore you're covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet all the way around, and the enemy can't get in there to do anything to you. That really does work. All right, I said, but just like everything else in the Bible, it must be received by faith. It belongs to us through Jesus and what he did for us at Calvary. The process is very simple, and as always with anything of faith, it comes through the Word of God. Now, if you don't know your Word, then you're not going to be able to walk in total faith and in total peace. I can't memorize a word, and I've been reading it for years and years, and I cannot memorize. I can't quote you scriptures, but I read my word, and I know it's in there somewhere. I might not know it, you know, word by word, but I know it's in there. And I say, God, this is my version of what's in your word as I pray. He doesn't expect you to memorize the whole Bible, even though a lot of people do it. And if you do, I really do think that's wonderful. Right, we need to understand that the word, W-O-R-D, is separate from the world, W-O-R-L-D, and is not affected by it in any way. In other words, God's word never changes. And whatever happens in the world does not affect the Bible. It does not, I don't care how many times men want to rewrite the Bible to suit the world, you cannot separate God's word. You can't divide it, and you can't change it. I mean, you can, but you really can't in heavenly places. God's word is yes, and it's amen. Neither the world, nor our enemy Satan, nor demons, nor anything of the world order can change or keep the word from working. It really does work, but you're going to have faith and trust and believe. I have found out one thing about Christians. They just want everything dropped in their lap. They don't want to have to read the word. They don't want to have to pray. They don't want to have to suffer. They just want God to drop everything in their lap. And I was thinking about this last night. You know, you cuss God. You get mad at him. But you don't do that to Satan. You don't ever say, I hate Satan. You know, you don't ever say, well, Satan did this to me. No, it's always God. Why is that? Ask yourself that. Why do you always blame God? Because it's not God that does those things to you. It's Satan. Now, we also know that in Job, you know, when Satan wants to destroy you, he goes to the courtroom and he asks for you, and God lets him have you. And God lets him test you. That's not a bad thing, because what should be happening is you should be growing stronger, and your character should be growing stronger, and you should be a different person when the battle's all over. When we sing that song, Hallelujah, it says in the middle of the storm, I said in the middle of this storm. We're singing our Hallelujah in the middle of this storm that's happening over the world right now. So you have to make it present. Just don't make it generic. When you're singing, put the word in your situation. All right? The only thing that stops the word, you know, W-O-R-D, is unbelief. Unbelief is always fear-based. I'm going to tell you, God told me years, I mean, 10, 15, 20 years ago. He said, daughter, if you don't get out of your doubt and unbelief, I'm going to remove your candlestick, and that's my ministry. I quickly rechecked myself and found out I was having doubt and unbelief in a few areas, and I quickly got that under the blood, and then I was in right standing with God again. So don't tell me, oh, I'm not walking in doubt and unbelief. Ask God, God, am I walking in doubt and unbelief? And then God told me one time years ago, maybe 5, 10 years ago, daughter, he said, you have to return back to your first love. And see, with all the things that were going on around in my life, I didn't realize Satan was taking me out of my first love with God. And my eyes were slowly but surely being turned to the circumstances. And God spoke to me very sternly. He said, you have to get back to your first love or you won't be anymore. So then I checked myself because God's always right. And sure enough, I wasn't loving God. I wasn't putting my eyes on God and trusting him like I should have been. So I got that right. If you're going to follow Christ, you have to be a strong person. You have to be very strong to follow Christ. A weak person will not be able to suffer for Christ's sake like you're going to have to. And if you really look around about you, the true ministers of God are strong people. And they don't back down. In fact, with this church, I said to God, I said, everybody in here is strong. And I said, and it's really hard to deal with all these strong-minded people. They're all right, but they know where they're going. They know what they're going to do. And they're dogmatic. And I can't fuss because I'm the same way. But, you know, you have to be strong if you're going to follow God because it's a hard road. It's not an easy road. And God tells you right up front, if you're going to follow me, you're going to suffer. He tells you that. Think about back in your childhood. Did you have a little, you know, easy childhood, or did you have to suffer a lot? You know, think about that. So if you were suffering a lot in your childhood, then that meant God was preparing you for this day in this season. He was seasoning you, and he was getting you, you know, where you had a backbone of steel and a forehead of flint so you could stand up to the wiles of the enemy. So don't blame your hard times you had in your life on your parents or anybody else. It was God allowing this to happen because you were going to be a leader one day that was going to lead his people. And he has to make you strong. All right, Mark 4, chapter 4, verse 14 says, Jesus given a parable, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. There's people in the body of Christ. This is where the word is sown. When they hear the word, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And then verse 16 said, and these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. But then verse 17 says, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately fall away. See this? Now another type is, and others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Then the other type is, but those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Some of you in here, you will only bear a 30-fold fruit. Others will bear 60-fold, and others will bear 100-fold. In other words, when you bear 100-fold, you've sold yourself totally, completely out to God, and you don't care what the enemy throws at you because you know your God is in control and he has your back. All right? Now, Jesus taught that once the word is sown, you know, the word of God is sown as a seed in one's heart, only unbelief of that word can keep it from producing 100-fold. And Hebrews 4, verse 1 says, Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. You know, Paul says it benefited us, but it didn't benefit them because they had no faith in God's word. All right, Paul said there, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear, that's a holy fear of God in his word, all right? Because I'm saying fear torment, but this is a different type of fear. Now, the word not mixed with faith brings no results. You can quote scriptures all day long, but if you don't have faith that those scriptures are really going to come to pass, they won't benefit you at all. All right. Hebrews 4:6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Everybody sitting here this morning that hears a word, this is not going to benefit everybody in here. Some people are either not going to hear it, or they're going to take it and mull it over and say it's not true. It's not going to benefit them. But there's others in here who's going to say this, wow, this is really neat. I'm going to get my faith working really hard, and I'm going to believe all of God's word, just not what I feel like I should believe. This verse is referring to the nation of Israel in the wilderness, Hebrews 4:6. God preached through Moses his word concerning the land of promise. When the spies or witnesses reported what they saw, only two, Joshua and Caleb, mixed faith with the promise. They all saw the same thing, but only two believed that they could cross over and go into the promised land. You got to think about yourself here this morning. Are you one of those that have enough faith to believe that God is going to start performing miracles? Are you one of those who believes that whatever God spoke over your life, he is surely going to bring to pass? God told me last night that the lighthouse is going to go into signs, wonders, and miracles, and we're going to be here 24/7. You know, he's told me that years ago, but last night, well, this morning about 4 o'clock, he spoke that to me. I believed it when he spoke it to me years ago. I still believe it today, and I know it's going to come to pass. Not when I die, but I'm going to see it with my own eyes and walk in it. All right? So what has God told you? I want you to think about this, right? What has God told you about your life? What is it he said he's going to use you to do? I want you to really think about that really hard, and I want you to say, God, I believe it today. I finally believe that you're going to do through me what you spoke to me 10 years ago. You know, get that in your spirit. The enemy's been trying to take that word out of you, but he can't take it unless you give it. I have to say, devil, you're a liar. Over and over and over again. Devil, you're a liar. God spoke it, it's going to be. The devil is a liar, and he lies to God's people all the time. He doesn't have to lie to the ones he already has, but he gets in the house of God and he lies to God's people because he does not want them to go forth and receive everything God said, because he knows that you will tear down his kingdom. And see, what I have noticed in the body of Christ, that people who have been once bound and then set free are so mad at the devil and what he's done to their life, and they go out there gung-ho and they want to destroy his whole complete kingdom. And they do tear down his kingdom. All right? All right, then I said, when the spies or witnesses reported what they saw, only two, Joshua and Caleb, mixed with faith with the promise. The rest did not. The other spies did not. Why? It was not because the land was not as God said it would be. It was everything he promised. It flowed with milk and honey. What kept them from entering in was their fear of the giants. You hear this? The fear of the giants. What is Satan causing you to have fear about? Drug people say, oh, The devil tell you, you'll never be free. You'll never be free. Somebody bound in perversion. You always do this. You always do that. And then you have a fear that you won't ever be free. You have the fear enters in you. Oh, well, I heard this voice, so therefore it's not, you know, I'm just always going to be this. No, you're not. At that point, whenever you hear that voice, say, okay, devil, I know that's you. And I know you're coming to try to make me believe I'll always be this way, but you're a liar. And I know already I'm not going back into that mess. So you can just get out of my mind right now in the name of Jesus, because I'm free. You do not have to pick up what the devil says. You don't. You do it because of what? Fear and unbelief. You can't believe that God is stronger than the devil, and you can't believe that God can do everything he says he's going to do in your life. All right, mixing faith with the word brings rest, followed by confession and action. Mixing faith with the word brings rest, followed by confession and action. Mixing fear with the word brings torment, followed by confession and action. Mixing fear, not faith, but fear with the word brings torment, followed by confession and action. Therefore, rest, then confession, then action equals victory. Rest, you know, you're resting in God. God, you said it, it's going to happen. Then confession, then action equals victory. The action part is when you really walk it out. No matter what the devil's doing in your life, you just walk it out. You're always going to be on drugs. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. And you don't go back on drugs. You just walk it out. See, you have a part to play in this. There is coming a day when God is going to do to the world, not to church, but to the world, he's just going to reach down and yank all that junk out of them. But see, you in the church, you've been sitting in the church long enough, and you should have been working on it to get it out of you. As God was saying, I'm taking it, then you should have given it to him and said, thank you, God. And no matter how much your enemy tormented you, you should not have picked it back up again. So now God's going into the world, and he's going to, in a wink of an eye, set them free of drugs, perversion, whatever it is. And then he's going to use them because the church I've been preaching for, what, about 40 years? And God's been all that time trying to get the church to change. And yeah, I have been preaching 40 years. Trying to get the church to change, and it hasn't changed. And that 40-year period when God called me and he called me to minister was, and I've preached to churches, to ministers, trying to get the churches to change and be what God wanted them to be, but they wouldn't change. So now God said, we're in another 40-year dispensation, and this 40-year dispensation is for the world. So either you received Christ or you didn't. Either you're following Christ or you aren't. There's no in between. Remember, God told us a couple years back, there's no gray road. The gray road never was, but even though you thought you was walking on it, it's either black or it's white. No gray. Now, you guys sitting in here who have been listening to the word and have been changing, and I've watched you squirm in your seats many times, you're the ones God's going to use to minister to the world. Somebody has to minister to the world. Now, are you one of those who have suggested Lord and have had to fight battle after battle and won, and now God's going to use you? Are you one of those? Ask yourself that. And God said, don't highlight your sin nature, highlight your faith. In other words, have you learned to have faith? Don't worry about what you used to do sin-wise. Have you learned to have faith and allow God to get you clean? All right, on the other hand, torment, then confession, then action equals complete disaster. Torment, then confession, then action equals complete disaster. And Hebrews 4:11 says, let us therefore strive, get to work, to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Our job is to see to it, our labor to enter into that rest. You're going to have to work at it. I have to work and keep myself right every single solitary day. Sometimes I sit for an hour just saying, God, just help me, make me stronger, give me wisdom, whatever I need. I have to do the work of getting what I need to do what I need to do for His kingdom. God has not, never has, and never will drop it on my lap. I have to work to get a sermon together. You know, and I have to pray, and I have to seek His face. And then you do some dumb things, and I have to change a sermon. You know, so your sermon's never secure until you're giving it. Because really what you do dictates what God wants me to teach on. Are you understanding this? The same thing goes in your personal life. You're just a trotting down that road doing what God wants you to do, and all of a sudden God says, turn. And so you're going to have to learn to stop and turn, because He needs you to go down this road to teach you something down there. But people don't want God to say turn. They want to just keep riding on and jogging. They want to reach their destination real quick like. But I'm going to tell you that isn't the way it works. The reason why the body of Christ is in the mess it's in, there's not enough pastors out there telling you you're going to suffer for Christ. You know, I went to church all my life, but then I got born again in the 70s, and I just thought church was going to be wonderful. I thought it was a rose garden. Everything's going to be fine, because it was until I got born again. But after you get born again, then you're in the devil's territory. Even though I always went to church, I didn't do anything bad, He wasn't worried about me because I didn't know enough to tear down his camp. But once I got born again, then He started. And you and I said, what is going on here? And I'm telling some of you because you don't know this. God said, I heard you you said, here I am, Lord, use me. And I did say that nice and loud. He said, this all goes along with it. In other words, when you get born again and really start following God and become holy and everything else, then the enemy is after you with everything. All hell. All hell. He'll send this is how it works. He sends his little pinions after you first. And when he sees that's not working, then he sends his bigger demons after you. And when that doesn't work, he himself comes after you. That's the way it went in my life, and that's the way it's going to go in your life. And when the devil himself, and I've talked to the devil, when the devil himself comes to you, he's upset. And he wants to kill you. He means business. And he'll tell you he's going to kill you. But then when God already warned me and said he can do anything to you except kill you, take your life. And isn't that what he told Job? You do anything you want to him, but you can't kill him. So many times I would just think, oh God, let him kill me. Because it wasn't nice. It was hard. And I had to keep my faith going. And I had to trust God was with me. And some of the situations, you know, you think, how did I ever even get here? But the devil said, I want her. And when I'm through with you, she'll quit you. And he says, you can have her. I know, because this is what God told me happened. Then he told me to read Job. And then I read Job. I said, oh, dear Lord. You know. How many of you've read the Bible but really didn't understand it? You just read it, you know. And then when God will say, well, you know, this, go to this scripture, you know, after you're born again and you're in your battles. And he'll always give you a scripture to show you what you're going through. You know the story about the devil was asking for Peter to sift him. One time I was going through a terrible time and God, he said, go and read this scripture. And so I did. I said, oh, now I'm being sifted. And, you know, my story, I said, God, make it the holes bigger in the sifter. Because I tell you what, he was really sifting me really hard. So this is what you go through to follow Christ. But I enjoy every bit of it. It's fun. I like to knock your heads off every now and then, but it's fun. It really is. Isn't it fun? It's exciting. You know, your life is never dull, is it, Grace? Your life is never dull. Because every day the devil comes to make sure he has you on a treadmill of some sort. Right? Lost my place again. Our job is to see to it or labor to enter into that rest that Hebrews 4:11 talks about. It is not our job to buck and run at the first bad news or sudden danger. And that's what Christians do. Oh, I can't do this, God. And you go off on your own. That's not your job. Your job is to stay the course. It is our calling to immediately draw upon the promises of the Word of God and meditate in them until the rest comes to stay. Oh, I went to the Lighthouse Church. I had a vision the other day, morning. And it was a Lighthouse Church. We were in here. Each one of you had a big gold sword. I mean, it was a big gold sword. And you were just, I could tell, you were sweaty. I could tell you just did something. I said, God, what is this? He said, the Lighthouse Church picked up their sword and they fought the enemy and they won. He said, this is victory that they're standing in right now. All right. But then I said later, and I thought of each one of you, and I said, well, God, I believe you. I'm not going by what I see. I'm going by faith. But no, really, truly, I did have that vision just the other night. And you were all strong. You were strong people, you know. And you had these big gold swords. I thought it was awesome. So there you go. I think the word God gave for the day is that you operate from the victory circle. So there you go. You've won the victory. Now walk it out. The enemy comes out. You say, oh, I have a gold sword and I'm all sweaty from battle and I've won. The battle's over and I've won. Some of you should be that know the Spirit should be feeling the Spirit all over you right now. Okay. Let's go back to the other paragraph. It is our calling to immediately draw upon the promises of the Word of God and meditate in them until the rest comes to stay. I know this is easier said than done. Believe me, I do. But that is why Jesus has provided the Holy Spirit, His name, and His blood to help us. I've told you this is not easy, but it can be done. He is always right there whether you feel like He is or not. Anyone can do this. The sad thing is most people won't. Not that they can't, but that they just won't. All right. However, that is not you and me. The gold sword by faith. That is not you and me. We are people of faith and action. Amen. By faith, say amen. All right. The rest of Hebrews 4 tells exactly how we enter into the rest. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Here's your gold sword, sharp. Cut anything up. Verse 13, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We're talking about Jesus. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. What is your confession by faith? I'm walking in the victory circle, right? I've already fought the enemy and he's already defeated my life. Now I'm going forth so I can minister to the lost and dying world. I'm no longer going to stay back here in this mud sty. All right. Verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus has already gone through everything you'll ever go through. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All right, Luke 8:49-50 says, while he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, your daughter is dead, you know, while Jesus was still speaking. Said, your daughter is dead, do not trouble the teacher anymore. You know, he was wanting Jesus to heal her. But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. Do not fear. Jesus put it all in a four-word command. Fear not, believe only. Fear not, believe only. I don't care what your eyes see. I don't care what your body's telling you. What has God said about the situation? You know, by the time God says, you know, your kids are going to get off drugs, they get on drugs even harder. The enemy's not going to let them get off drugs just like that just because you heard God say that. You're going to have to stand in faith and say, devil, you're a liar. They're not on drugs. God said they're going to get off of drugs. They're going to get off of drugs. You're a liar, and I'm not going to look at you or listen to you. I'm going to keep in my spirit what God just spoke to me. All right, so God said, fear not, believe only the results, and she shall be made whole. You know, he told the young man, your daughter shall be made whole. Obviously, Jairus did just that. He didn't say a word. He had already spoken his faith when he said in Matthew 9:18, come and lay your hand on her and she will live. When the bad news came, Jairus just rested in Jesus and did exactly what Jesus said. What kind of bad news is somebody sending your way? Take it to God. He'll tell you what to do, what's going to happen. He'll give you the end results. Then rest in it. If he says they're going to die, well, they're going to die. You can moan and groan and cry and squall and carry on like a fool, but if God said they're going to die, they're going to die. Now, if he says they shall live and not die, then you can get excited about that. All right? We know what happened, you know, to the young lady. That is what always happens when we rest in Jesus. Whatever God said is going to come to pass if we rest in Jesus. God has done his part as he promised. Jesus has done his part. He ratified those promises with his own blood. Then authorized you and me to use his name and the blanket of blood and all his authority to stop Satan, fear, demon, sickness, and disease. Did you hear that? Sin cannot lord it over us. Sickness can't lord it over us. Jesus has declared us free. It is therefore our duty to be free, to take our stand, and having done all to stand therefore fully clad with full armor of God. Stand until the rest and peace of God comes. It will come. It really will. You have God's word on it. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. I'd be praying about something, and God said, you need to stand still. I said, oh, geez, there's that stand still thing again. In other words, just shut up, just rest in me, and watch it come to pass. Quit your junk. Amen? Come on. You know, God has said, if I don't know if God's ever said to you, there's a daughter, this is going to end. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And after about 6 months, I say, where's the light at? Where's the end of the tunnel? Have you ever done that? And he says, I told you there's a light at the end of the tunnel. So he said, just stand. I thought, well, there's, you know, the light I can't see, and now I've got to stand. So I have to just stand. And as I stand and rest in him and trust him, it comes out just like he says. But if you're like me, every now and then you have to throw your fit, right? You know, you have to show God, after all, you know, I have a right to throw my fit. But I really don't. But I do. And God knows me. Amen? I never get angry with him. I never think he can't do it. I just think he takes a little bit too long to do it. But then he tells me, your timing is not my timing. You know, he always has an answer. It's always in his word. Yeah. So I have learned over the years to just shut up and let him do his thing. And every now and then I just sort of sneak a little in there. God, isn't it time yet? You know, because we've stood and we stood and we stood and we stood. And then we stood some more. And it still hasn't happened, but I know God always said to me, his daughter, anytime you don't see it before you, it means I'm working behind the scenes. And I'm working everything out exactly like I told you it's going to happen. So when you don't see it before you, then God's still working behind the scenes. Okay. I said, church, this is a powerful message of hope. It is our message to ourselves. Together we can take it to the four corners of this world. This is our time. Victory belongs to us. And God showed me that in that vision. And victory is already yours. Now keep it. It belongs to you. As you go on about your business today, what I want you to do is I want you to seek the complete rest in God. Quit laboring over something God's already told you what's going to happen. Just enter into His rest. Even with everything that's going on in the world right now, enter into God's rest. Quit being concerned about it. I was listening to somebody on the email yesterday, and he said, you know, everybody's out there buying peanut butter and bread and toilet paper and all this, that. And they're spending money on those kind of things they really don't have money to spend on. And what they should be doing is just sitting down and being quiet, get quiet, and, you know, and get your faith going. And he didn't say that. I'm saying that. And, you know, and save your money, because you're going to need it. If your job, you don't have your job, you're going to need that money you spent on a jar of peanut butter. You know. And if you, whenever you go home, you read about what the prophets are all saying, and God's in the midst of this, and He's taking care of us, and we really have nothing to fear. We really don't have anything to worry about. Just continue to trust God. You know, God cares for every aspect of your life. I was relying on some money to come from some place, and God said, I don't want you to rely on that money because you're not going to get it. It's just not going to come to you. So I said, okay. Sure enough, it didn't come to me. So, you know, I didn't quit relying on it to do something I have to do at the house. You know, God said, I'll make a way. So He's going to make a way. And see, what we do is we look to people, you know, to help us. But God does use people. Now, so I don't want you to think He doesn't. Because that's how He blesses us, is through people. But we aren't supposed to look at people to help us. We're supposed to look to God to supply our need, and then He'll supply it through somebody else. All right? You know, I'm hearing God say, is there any sick among you? Then call for the elders of the church, and they'll pray the prayer of faith over you, and you shall be healed. Now, how many of you, if somebody came to you and said, I'm really sick, will you please anoint me and pray for me? How many of you would have enough faith to do that? Knowing that God's word says that. These are the different things, I'm hearing God say, these are the different aspects of your life that you've got to start concentrating on, because God needs to use your hands and your feet and your eyes and your mouth to move for Him. And if you can't believe that God can use you, then God can't use you. You have to believe that He can, and He wants to, and He will. And then He will use you. And if He can't use you, then He's going to go get somebody else. He's going to find somebody who's going to do it. How many of you found that God's having you lay and you whenever you're praying, sitting, however you do it, He's telling you who to pray for. He's telling you exactly how to pray. And I've been doing that here for over a week now. I'll be in my prayer closet, and He'll say, I want you to pray for so-and-so, and these are exact words I want you to say. So I say it exactly the way He says it. He's because I really want to heal them or bless them, whatever He's wanting to do. And so, see, God is awesome. So you don't pray wrong. He'll tell you who to pray for and give you the words to pray over them. Now, can you believe that? Can you trust God for that? If you can really do that, then the altar's open only for those who can really believe that whatever God has spoken over your life, He will do. Because if you can believe that, and when you come up, He's going to give you an anointing that you will not only do what you believe He can do, but then He's going to do more things for you than what He's already spoken to you.